We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. So it's not like anybody didn't see this coming. I mean, I think we all kind of knew. And again, it's the one thing about this president that people just can't seem to digest, is that he kind of does what he says he's going to do. It's kind of unusual for a politician. And of course, he did this through the entire campaign. But President Trump has promised now and fulfilled that promise to pull the United States out of the Iran nuclear deal. Now, of course, we're waiting to see how Iran reacts to that. And we already know that although there were reports that said early on they were going to pull out themselves, they now are saying that they will remain in the deal. And of course, they're calling the withdrawal illegal. Rouhani came out and said that. Not surprising, obviously. Obviously, there were regrets from France, Germany, and the UK wanted to stay in the deal. So this is kind of against a lot of the allies and all out there. What does this mean, actually? Well, what it means is the United States will reimpose pretty severe economic sanctions. You know, at this point, I mean, they kind of had their cake and they've kind of been eating it too. Del Wilbur, I got to tell you, man, I know you've been watching this thing and, Iran has had it both sides. They've already got all the pallets of cash, so they got all the goodies up front of the deal. Now this deal is kind of being pulled back. What do you think? Is this a good decision on the president or should he have stayed in the deal?
Oh, absolutely. It's the right decision. I mean, Iran has, you know, for one thing, I don't know what kind of a deal they're talking about because they never signed anything. And so, you know, in my mind, there's never been a deal. There's been I guess you would call it maybe a gentleman's agreement, though I don't think that I would refer to the Iranians as gentlemen in any stretch of the imagination.
Probably not. You're saying Iran never signed the deal, Dale?
No, they've never signed any document that ties them to anything or that restricts anything that that they want to do.
Well, I never heard that one at all. Jamie, Colonel Williamson is here as well. Jamie, tell me about, have you heard what Dale just says? I mean, do you know, I've never heard that Iran never signed the deal.
No, I wasn't aware of that, but I think the Iranians were delusional if they thought that the United States was going to remain with the status quo under Trump. I mean, he signaled pretty clearly. I don't think it surprised anyone.
If you follow Netanyahu's comments this past week, he showed plenty of proof and evidence there that they're already doing things that they shouldn't be doing, supposedly. But, you know, you really don't get a real straight story here, guys. You hear them say that at one time, but then, you know, in my other ear, I hear people saying, well, no, they're actually following the deal. Which is it, Dale? Are they following the deal or aren't they?
No, they're just kind of doing what they want, basically. And the one thing you have to understand about Iran is what you see on the surface is not what's going on underneath. And Iran has been actively pursuing a nuclear weapons program now for quite some time. And this this so-called agreement that they entered into was nothing more than something that gave them, an illusion of being in compliance with international standards, and the fact is they've had an ongoing program, and they continue to, or they intend to continue it.
Well, and that's what I'm gathering as well, because, listen, is there any doubt in your mind at all that what Iran's intentions are? You know, Jamie, when a country makes claims of what they want, the thing about Iran, and you kind of have to, well, I don't know if you call them fools or not, but at least they tell you what their plans are. They don't hide it.
They plainly said they're going to wipe Israel
exactly.
off the face of the earth. That's pretty clear to me.
That's what I'm saying. So they've made their plans very, very clear. Everybody knows what the mission is. We know what they want to do. You can't give a country like this any rope. I mean, obviously. And that's why the Israeli people take this as serious as they take it, because, you know, it only takes one particular misfire or one problem. And, you know, if they can't get that back down with the Iron Dome or with their other defenses there, you've got a real problem there. Israel is in a volatile neighborhood.
Threat. Yeah, all it takes is once. With a country with the proximity and the size of Israel, it's an existential threat.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a rough neighborhood, very clearly. And so, all right, so the president comes on, he says, this was a horrible deal that should have never, ever been made. And we've heard this many, many times, people, you know. He referred to Iran as a state sponsor of terror. We know that as well. Now, again, Iran's been all over the park here as far as their comments, whether they were going to stay in the deal or not. But it appears that they are going to, at this point, they're saying now, today here, that they're going to stay in the deal, even if the U.S. withdraws or not. Now, the other day, it was that they were going to pull out. But obviously, if you look at this psychologically and you understand the not only the ramifications, but what Iran is up against, I think to me it's so obvious and blatant in your face, guys, that Iran, I mean, how can anybody not question what their motives or their goals are, what they're doing? And I find it very interesting, Dell, that they are so anxious to stay into this deal. Now, if this deal really held them to the fire, if this deal was all of that, of what was promised, okay, but not delivered, why would Iran be so intent on holding on to this thing? Why would they be so, you know, I mean, so pro-deal at this point? It just doesn't make a lot of sense. Why would they want that?
Because it was so lopsided in their favor when the thing was concocted. So, you know, I mean, that pretty much explains it. You know, there's another thing here that we need to take note of, and that not only was a message being sent to Iran by the president today, but a message was also being sent to North Korea, and that's kind of another aspect to this this decision that I think people need to take
that's a good point. In fact, speaking of North Korea, Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, is off to North Korea. It was just announced here just a bit ago, a couple hours ago here, that he is preparing for the upcoming summit. This, again, is the second meeting in a pretty short time period to be able to prepare for the summit with President Trump and Kim Jong-un. Now, Also, Kim Jong-un just had additional meetings, by the way, in the last 48 hours with Xi Jinping of China. So that just happened. So keep this in mind, people, what's happening here. I mean, this is called negotiations all on the high seas here. So Kim Jong is in China again for more discussions. So you know whatever North Korea is doing, they are China's puppet. If you had any doubt of that, this will prove it, because this is another meeting. So before Kim does anything, he's clearing it with Xi Jinping to go to Papa Bear and see what they want with this deal. So that's what's happening there. Pompeo's off now to meet with North Korea. I think as far as the date of the summit with North Korea, And where that's going to be held, that is going to be announced any time. I think they're just waiting now for Pompeo to get this all settled out with him. But they already sort of know when this is going to be. It just has not been announced to the public. Expect to hear that shortly ahead. I think these next day or two, I think we'll know where, when, and how that's going to happen. Listen, also top of the news today on Nozzle Israel. We've got some real problems there now. We've got to be watching, obviously, with the what's happening on the Israeli border in Gaza, as we've been reporting on, has been a real problem over the past, well, 4 or 5 weeks now, as is typically the case at this time of year. But what's happening now is with the embassy moving to Jerusalem, I think you've got some real challenges here of security. We're going to talk about that today as well. Israeli has come out and said some interesting things. Oh boy, what a story here. New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman. You cannot make this stuff up, friends. So he resigns in disgrace. This is one of the big supporters of the Me Too movement in women. And wait till you hear the stories, if you haven't heard already, what he's been doing to women in the back bedroom. This story gets really, really interesting. And again, what is it with some of these New Yorkers? I don't know. It seems like we're always getting these kinds of stories to come out. We look forward to talking about this one with Jamie and Dale. I can only imagine what you guys say about this one. Anyways, moving it along here. Gina Haspel, a confirmation process. Actually, will start tomorrow, Wednesday, for the CIA director. So this is going to be interesting. We'll see how aggressive they get. You know, again, this will be the first woman director for the CIA. It's a big accomplishment. I'll tell you both, guys, we'll talk about this more just after here, but I got to tell you both, I think part of the reason they don't want her in that role is I don't think they want to give that kind of accomplishment to this president, quite frankly. President they have labeled as such. This is a hell of an accomplishment for his administration to have this, and she's very qualified no matter what she is the bottom line. Hey, listen, the CBO has some interesting figures. Get a load of this, people. April was the best month in history for the U.S. budget. Hard to believe, but this is confirmed. The CBO is, I'll tell you, they found some money they didn't know they had. That's kind of interesting. Also, some developments with Mueller, of course. You can't have a day of news without talking about Special Counsel Mueller, though many of us wish he would go away. Listen, let's do some formal introductions at the top of the show here on Nozzle here. Bringing back again, he's been with us before. A few weeks back, he was on with us. Dell Wilbur is here, and Colonel Jamie Williamson. I'd like to start, and Dell, have you take 15 seconds or so and tell folks just a little bit of your background, because you have a relationship with the CIA, if I recall.
Well, I'm a former agency employee and served undercover for a number of years, and I've been involved in intelligence work now for quite a few decades, more than I care to think about.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll have a couple of things to say about Gina Haspel. You can enlighten us on your thoughts in a bit here. Colonel Jamie Williamson, we haven't spoken in a while. Colonel, it's good to have you on today with us as well.
Likewise. Glad to be back, Malcolm.
Yeah, tell folks a little bit about your background, please.
Well, I just got back from Jordan. I was up on the Israeli and Syrian borders last month. But I'm a retired Special Forces colonel, combat veteran. The longer I was a Green Beret, the more I gravitated into intelligence-related work within special operations. I'm a small businessman, and I'm also the president of OPSEC.org.
Yeah. Well, listen, and I hope you both have frequent flyer miles with the traveling you do back and forth, you know, to the Middle East and otherwise. But Colonel Jamie Williamson, Dell Wilbur, more Nozzle friends in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
So what happens next? Dale, what happens to this deal next? Now, the president, who's known for wanting to negotiate deals, I mean, this is his signature landmark approach to about everything, is negotiations, which is a really interesting way to do it. You know, you don't see that a lot in politics today, as you see this president want to do. What do you think happens now? Is this the president's idea just to get this deal renegotiated? And do you think Iran will play along, or will they continue to play poor sports and not want to come back to the table?
Well, one thing people need to keep in mind about Iran is the The Iranian leadership, I mean, fully believes that they're on a mission from God. So
let me stop you there. That's not true. It's not God. They're on a mission from Allah.
Okay.
I missed. There's a difference, bud. There's a difference. No, I'm just being a wise guy here, Dale. Go ahead.
But so that alone makes any attempt at negotiation a little bit different, a little bit more difficult, because they truly believe they're on that mission. And when you're that fanatical, and as they have shown in the past, any agreement or that they enter into is really valueless, because all they view it as something that gives them more time to pursue their ultimate goal. And so I'm not sure negotiation per se is going to achieve anything with them. I think just dealing with them from a position of strength and, you know, maybe even subjugating them is the only thing that's going to change their behavior.
You know, Dale, the president kind of alluded to what you're talking about, too. You almost got the sense, I mean, he didn't quite say it in those words. I mean, it wasn't said in the exact words, but you could almost sense his understanding, if you understand what Iran is all about, which you just said very eloquently, Dale, a moment ago here. I think the president recognizes that there's no deal with Iran it's not even worth the paper it's on, even if there was a signed deal or not. I mean, it's not even worth it because, again, you see, if you really understand the Quran and you understand the rights of how the Iranian people think, the leadership I'm speaking about, they think that they don't have to honor these deals. Even if they signed a deal or not, Dale, they don't really have to honor it, is part of what they believe the Quran tells them. In fact, there's a lot of gray areas with this whole Quran business if you get into, you know, what they can and can't do and how they handle themselves. What I'm saying is, you know, you almost have a hard time understanding the real motives of the Iranian leadership. But like you just said right now, I mean, anything goes with these people. You're never going to really, you know, get the deal in play that they're going to honor. So why bother at this point? I mean, if that's what we got. See, I think a lot of people don't understand, Jamie, what's really behind the Iranian philosophy, you know, when it comes to, again, Allah. And I was being a wise guy with Dale about Allah. But again, Allah and God are not the same as far as my world goes, Jamie, you know. So.
Sure. And you know, this is part of their, I don't know if it's the surahs or the hadiths, but yeah, it's, you don't have to honor. You can use subterfuge and lying and negotiation.
Oh, they tell them to lie. It tells you to lie. Yeah, it's perfectly legit, Jamie. And in fact, that's a quicker, faster way to go to heaven, to get to all those naked angels up there, you know? Right?
Well, here's the interesting thing. You and Dell were speaking about sending a message to North Korea. Well, reciprocally, North Korea, the whole Trump Kim Jong-un thing, sent a loud and clear message to the Iranians. Was it heard? Perhaps. But, you know, Kim Jong-il didn't come willingly saying, oh, you know, we don't need these nukes anymore. It was the velvet glove, it was the carrot and the big freaking stick that made him change his mind. And I think we're going to have to use the same technique with the Iranians, coercion, and I think we're going to drive them to the bargaining table. They're going to, now the key is, can this administration put together a coalition of allies to have a concerted effort of sanctions and admonitions diplomatically from the UN world stage to tight, you know, it's going to be hard to do after we've given them boatloads of cash, but they're flush with cash right now, but they've spent a lot of it.
They have, well, they've given a lot to Hamas and Hezbollah, so sure, that's what they do well, right?
We see that now in Lebanon.
Right.
Yeah. You know, one thing I would be concerned about if and I think this is something that we're likely to see in the short term anyway, is if I were in the Middle East right now as an American, I'd be watching my back pretty closely, because the Iranian playbook is to, any time they feel that they're backed into a corner, is they snatch some Americans and hold them hostage. It gives them, you know, what they consider a bargaining chip. So I think I'd be very careful if I were overseas right now in the Middle East.
Yeah, that's good advice, Dale. Isn't that funny you say that, Dale? And I mean, there's no sanctity of human life when it comes to countries like Iran and countries like North Korea, and they all do it. North Korea does the same thing. They snatch the Americans and use them as quasi-hostages or whatever they can do. I mean, that's the playbook they always use. Well, because, you know, Americans value life, and so we stand up for life, and that's the difference, whereas these people don't. They stand up for death. They think death is their life. That's where they think they're going. So it really is weird, the whole thing. Well, for us, it's odd, but not for them. It's just normal business, guys. They look at this as just, you know, it's a way of life. They don't know anything different, really. What do you think about North Korea with this whole deal with what becomes of this with North Korea? Jamie, we haven't talked in a while. What do you think about this potential deal with North Korea, with the president sitting down with Kim Jong-un, the summit? As you just said, the playbook for North Korea is to lie, cheat, steal, and deny. So how does that work now with, how do you take these people for their word if there is a deal from a summit, you know?
Well, I think we have to be cautiously optimistic, go in there with eyes wide open. I think we're going to see the summit I can't pronounce it, I've been there, but at the DMZ.
The demilitarized zone,
Yeah, because of the optics. What a powerful message. That will assure a Nobel Peace Prize, one that's actually earned. It's been a paradigm shift in U.S. diplomacy. This is hugely significant. And I think the optics of having it done on the DMZ will be even more powerful than the North and South Korean presidents hugging and holding hands and crossing the border. But I think it also represents what we should have done to Cuba, is bring them back into the fold. Economically, welcome that. Capitalism is good. Communism is bad and evil. Within moderation. I mean, they're still puppets of China. And China doesn't want to see a nuclear conflict on the Korean Peninsula. It's bad for business. It's bad for things that are going to blow across their borders, from refugee to nuclear fallout. So everybody wins. We're not demeaning them. We're welcoming them. But I think we're cautiously optimistic. It would be extremely foolish for him to play Trump on this. And I'm sure the Chinese, Xi Jinping has told them that as well. Get with the program, Kim.
Isn't it interesting? That is well said, Colonel. Well said. And it is interesting the way Trump plays foreign policy. I find it, as you, I know you both do as well, really fascinating. There are some changes. I want to talk to you both about this next, because I think this is kind of interesting to me. My sense is, Dale, that there are some really unique changes happening in the Middle East. Now, I think back, you go back to the 70s, 80s, 90s, you go back to the Shah of Iran, you go back to where Iran was. At one point, they were a very strategic partner with America. Of course, before this current regime became into power. But when you look at the Middle East as a whole right now, and we know that they have a lot of proxy relationships and wars out there, Iran, they are the most unique sponsor of terror everywhere. All of this, again, goes back to the playbook of, you know, where Islam is being pushed onto the world. It's a big conversation. But it seems to me there are some changing tides coming out of the Middle East, Dell. When you look at Saudi Arabia, you look at the new prince there, you see some of the contemporary nods that are happening there, the way they're even changing some of the rights to women. The way Trump had that big summit out there with Saudi Arabia, that was a brilliant, brilliant move. The way Trump met with Xi Jinping early on his administration, another brilliant move. The way he created a relationship with Xi Jinping, absolutely brilliant. To get to North Korea, incredible. The way he created a relationship with Shinzo Abe out of Japan. You start to look at all of this, these various pieces of the game here, Dale, and I think your eyes sort of shift that we are not just in uncharted waters here, but I think we're sort of laying out the ground rules, and the rules of the game have changed, maybe. And that maybe this is a really groundbreaking moment for foreign policy.
Well, you know, as I mentioned to you the last time we chatted, the Arabs, you know, I recently returned from the Middle East, and where I was, they love Trump. And, you
Isn't
know,
that
part
ironic?
of that is, yeah, it is. And particularly in light of how so much was made of this so-called Muslim ban.
The Muslim thing, yeah.
You know, I had Arabs sit there and tell me, well, why not? You know, America doesn't want those terrorists in their country. Mm-hmm. And it was comical in a sense. But no, they love him because they look at him as someone who is standing up to the real threat that they view as coming from Iran. And there are a great many overtures and even subtle cooperation going on between the Israelis and the Arab nations, that particularly Saudi Arabia, that I think bodes well for the future of the Middle East, really.
That we haven't seen before, Dell.
Oh, absolutely not. And I think you have to give credit, a lot of credit to Trump, because his visit to Saudi Arabia was masterful. And the new crown prince, who is Western educated, he's young, and he understands that the majority of his population is young. And I think he is taking conscious steps towards liberalizing the Saudi Arabian society, but he knows he has to move a little bit cautiously and slowly. But I think even more changes are on the horizon that, you know, that people are going to find, I guess, in some ways astonishing, considering, you know, Saudi Arabia of the recent past.
You know, it doesn't escape me at all that, you know, and I'll say this not to be, you know, smug yet, but we are living in historical moments, historical times. You think back to when Reagan was here, guys, and you think about the way world policy was changed. Think about how the world was reshaped. You know, Colonel, if the Reagan administration had never happened, who knows what the world would be like right now? In other words, there was a point in time historically when Reagan and Thatcher, Mikhail Gorbachev, and I even sometimes put Pope John Paul in there, because there was some unique chemistry with these characters. And when you think of how that changed the world policy and foreign policy here in this country, it was major. It was a major shift. Well, we haven't seen this kind of a shift since back at that moment of time, which doesn't escape me. And you know, Colonel, I get the real feeling, like right now, at this moment of time, we're reliving again a very historical moment of time that will be, I mean, this is the history books, that will be looked back upon and say, wow, this president who they railed against. Now, there are some unusual circumstances here. Clearly, they didn't like Reagan either, Jamie. They didn't like him either. I mean, he was poo-pooed against, and you know, very much. This president is being ridiculed in a way that I don't think we've probably seen before with any president, have we?
No, but I think we're going to be much more clear-eyed from a historical perspective looking back. I mean, we're not even 2 years into the presidency, and just the magnitude of what has been done is very synonymous of the Reagan years. And I think I agree wholeheartedly with what you and Dell had said in regards to Saudi Arabia, Jordan, a much more liberalized country. The Qataris have marginalized themselves with their shift towards Wahhabism. The crown prince has made a decision for the future of his country to gradually move back to the center, or move back to a more Western-oriented stance. Jordan has a very, very close relationship. The king personally has a very close relationship with President Trump.
Exactly.
It's a very liberalized, progressive country, and there's a lot of intelligence that's exchanged with the Israelis, not just with the United States and the UK. There's a much more cooperative stance. They're neighbors. They're neighbors. War benefits no one. Even Egypt, and Egypt certainly has had its share of ups and downs, yeah. Al-Sisi, but it's a delicate balance.
It has always been a delicate balance, yeah.
And it's a matter of self-preservation of the inherent regimes but moving forward gradually and progressively. Mm-hmm. But it's happening.
It's happening, clearly, Jamie. Yeah. It's happening. You know, Jamie, there's a point to make with what you say here, brother, and it's this. You know, there's a lot of ridiculing again on the president. Oh, he talks tough. Oh, he carries a big shit. Oh, man, this guy, he's just, you know. And again, or sometimes they use the word bully, this or that, on foreign policy, because it has been pretty eye-opening, the Rocket Man stuff and the rest of it. It's like, wow, did the president really do that? We have never seen that before. Listen, I want to talk to you both about Israel a moment here. Just today, in fact, they've started to put all the street signs up there for the U.S. Embassy, which was quite a moment, quite a historical moment, again, to be putting the signs up there. Now, this is something that I haven't spoke to you guys specifically about this, but, I mean, this is something that a lot of presidents have spoke about moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, where, you know, it's obviously is their capital. You know, and it's always been an argument of, like, no president has followed through with it except this one. Again, this president is playing with all kinds of levels of discussion. I mean, if North Korea isn't enough, well, let's deal with Iran. If Iran isn't enough, well, let's deal with moving the embassy to Israel. If that's not enough, let's deal. I mean, it is a multi-level, fascinated game to watch here. And I use game as not really game, but you know what I mean, people, you know. And but it is interesting to me, guys. It doesn't, I'm not lost on Navis. But anyways, the signs went up to move the embassy, in Jerusalem today here. Now, the problem is, and I've been talking about this in past weeks here because I kind of know we have a lot of intelligence experts on the platform in America Out Loud, and you know, I know we're expecting a lot of problems there. And Israel comes out today, and they said they are fearing an explosion of violence, is what they're calling it, as we prepare to move the embassy in Jerusalem. Now, Trump is not going there. There was talk initially that he might make it there for the opening, but he is not going to be there. I think it's a major security risk, quite frankly, and is unnecessary at this point. But what do you expect to happen here? And one other thing I want to ask you, on this, guys, the Jerusalem mayor came out, by the way, and they formally today named a square, beautiful square, by the way, right near the U.S. Embassy in the town there. They have named it the United States Square in honor of President Donald Trump. They've renamed that entire square there as an official proclamation, I guess, to the president, and as a nod for his to celebrate this major, major move. What do you think is going to happen? How much violence do we expect out there in Israel here, Colonel Williamson? What do you think? Expecting much?
I don't think we're going to. No. I think it's going to be a show of force. I saw a little crowd outside the Jordanian embassy in protest, and, of course, they were filming it at angles that would lead you to believe there were hundreds of people in the street. Yeah. I think we're going to have some rock throwing and bottle throwing, but we have that every day.
Oh, sure. We have that in Baltimore, Maryland. What the hell more you want? You know, we have that right here.
Right. I think it's wise that Trump doesn't go. I mean, we've already moved the embassy. We don't need to poke him in the eye too much. It's happening. And all the other presidents talked about doing it. They had no intention of doing it. It was a campaign promise. It was a nice kumbaya thought, but yeah. You know, with Trump, he does what he says. He says what he does.
He does. Yeah, I think that's exactly it. Dale, you have a different opinion on Israel itself with the level of violence and what have you, of what we expect. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree with Jamie. I mean, there may be down the road, I'm sure there's probably planning going on already amongst, terrorist groups and that. But whether they're able to actually pull something off or not, I don't have a lot of confidence in that, because I suspect the level of security around that embassy is going to be very high. I would be more concerned, as I mentioned, about anyone living in the Middle East, Americans, individually maybe being targeted. So that's certainly always a concern. But I think the embassy facility itself is probably going to be like Fort Knox.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Listen, before we get on to this other crazy story, I do want to talk to you guys about and let people know some of the interesting pieces to this Schneiderman scumbag up in New York here. Before we get on to scumbag Schneiderman here, I want to talk to you about Gina Haspel. the nominee for CIA director. The confirmation process starts tomorrow, Dell. And she is expected to go under some fire because that's what they do there. They want to make it, it's what they just did to Ronnie Jackson. And they tend to do that. I mean, it's never a cakewalk, but it seems like it's really, really difficult these days. The president's appointees and are being held up, and nominees are being held up in an unprecedented amount of time. They're taking all of these out about 30 days, and they're stretching out the maximum amount of hours they can possibly stretch all this stuff out. What do you think? How to predict for me what happens, Dell, over the next week or so with Gina Haspel? How does the confirmation process go, and what's the end result, Dell?
Well, first of all, I'd preface by saying that, you know, all of these positions are extremely important for this country. Yeah. So for the Democrats to try to stall and delay and deny appointees to these very critical and important positions smacks to me of basically of anti-Americanism. But that being said, recently, where I just was, one of my colleagues there actually worked with Gina Haspel before, and I mean, he described her as absolutely top notch, and so I can only go on his recommendation. But of what I know of her and that, I mean, I think she's a very accomplished individual and would be an excellent choice for CIA director. And you know, this baloney about her. You know, being involved in supervising and, you know, the torture of prisoners and that is a bunch of garbage as far as I'm concerned. I mean, were it up to me, I probably would have squeezed these terrorist sensitive parts for every bit of intel I could get from them and put two right between the headlights and feed them to the sharks.
Oh, man, Dell, how could you talk that way?
But that's just me. You know?
Well, I'd be in line with you, buddy. And I believe Colonel Williamson probably would be as well, huh, Jamie?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, the confirmation hearings are about fitness, not whether or not you agree with her policies or procedures. And Gina Haspel is eminently qualified. In fact, if this were the previous administration, she'd sail through confirmation. It's just the pro forma obstruct this president however we can.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And again, I don't think they I really tell you both, I don't think they want this success. I really believe this, that this president would on his credit, would have the first woman CIA director. That's a hell of an accomplishment on his administration, especially if you're a kind of an administration guy. So I have to admit that they labeled as a as a woman hater and as a racist and a xenophobe and a nut job, and you kind of don't want to give those celebratory moments, do you? So you know, they're going to keep going after it, I think, pretty much. So Jamie, do you think does she get through the confirmation process? Do you think she makes it? Your prediction on it?
She does. She does, because she's tenacious, and I don't think she'll give up, be swayed like Ronnie Jackson, but it's brutal.
It's brutal.
It's brutal.
It is absolutely brutal. No, I wouldn't do it either, buddy. Yeah, yeah. Dell, what do you think, Dell? Do you give her a nod? Does she get through it, or do you think they stop her?
Yeah, I think she'll get through. I think it's it's going to be brutal, but she'll get through, and there'll be a lot of pontificating on the part of people like Dianne Feinstein and others who have to play to an audience. But no, I think she makes it, and I think she'll do an excellent job as CIA director.
Yeah, it seems to me like that is what's going to happen here. But if she doesn't, by chance, I think there's going to be a price to pay for this one. After destroying the Ronnie Jackson, the physician, to become the VA administrator, this on the back of that, I think would be, to say the least, a crime, friends. And I think there'll be a price to pay for that. Listen, you'll want to buckle your seatbelt up for the next segment. Schneiderman coming right up. More nozzle, just a moment. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. The 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple.
Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. This New York Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman. So he resigns just late yesterday, and pretty serious allegations that he physically and emotionally abused multiple women at this point. And of course, once it starts, right now there are four women, but you know, I don't know if there are more or not. It's hard to say if it's the Weinstein thing or the Cosby thing, or they seem to come fast and furious. It could be more than four. I don't really know. But listen to some of these accusations here, boy. Wow, they're pretty in your face here. He's accused of slapping them, choking them, and controlling their behavior in extreme ways. He says that this was all the part of role-playing while having sex. He calls it just between consensual adults. He'd like to pretty much bitch slap them around, I guess. Now, this is a guy who was the one of the big outspoken people of the Me Too movement, who criticized Harvey Weinstein. And of course, he's been down Trump's throat like you can't believe. He's one of the biggest critics against the president here. So one of the ladies here, specifically Michelle Manon Barish, very outspoken about this. She comes out and says that she was in a relationship with the scumbag, Schneiderman, for close to 2 years. And apparently in a drunken rage, he allegedly called her a whore, slapped her across the face and ear, held her down, choked her. Yeah. I mean, this sounds like just a fun Friday night for some of these cats, guys. I mean, you hear the stuff. I mean, made cruel remarks about her weight. Emotional battering, they call it here. And let me just finish this here and get your guys to opine on this. And then another woman who chose to remain unnamed, like, can you blame anybody to want to be unnamed with these kinds of things? Schneiderman slapped her so hard that the handprint was left on her face. And another woman, same thing, and said intense physical abuse, belittling remarks again. I mean, this guy sounds like a real dick, to be quite frank with you all. I mean, and then this is the guy who's outspoken talking about women's rights. You know, I got to tell you, it seems to me a lot of these characters on the left come out and they want to talk about women's rights. And then this is kind of what we always see. They're the same characters who are in the bedroom slapping and beating up the women, calling them names. What gives with this thing? I mean, what gives? I mean, this other one went out. I can't even use the language here because there's four-letter words in here. You're a flipping whore. Michelle Barron, she comes out and says his hypocrisy is epic, she says. He's fooled so many people. Wow, did you see this coming at all, Dell?
Well, I think there's something in the water in New York because you had Elliot Spitzer.
Man. Wiener.
You had Elliot Spitzer who was had some sex scandal, and Anthony Wiener, and then now, this guy. I mean,
Wow. Wow.
All I can say is it seems like New York politics sometimes attracts some, to put it politely, some real scoundrels.
Now, I want to ask you both as gentlemen, Jamie, Dell, as gentlemen now, or maybe you're not gentlemen, but have you ever been in a bedroom scene where you start slapping her around and banging her and said punching her and beating the hell out of her and then, you know, calling her she's fat or she's this or that? Is any of you done that kind of role playing in your life? Dell, you?
Deny everything, admit nothing, and make counter accusations.
I knew it. All right, Jamie, give us some truth. How about you, brother?
No, that in fact, that there's nothing even remotely that would turn me on. Or, I mean, he's having the one girl call him master and referring
her
as his brown slave. And so now it seems like the champions of women is the shield or the cloak of now I can abuse wherever I want because my public face. I mean, all I could say is the irony.
I know, Jamie, but how do they get away with this? You just put it, you're always so good with your words when you said the way you described it just there is perfect. So, but how do they get away with this? And how many more are there like this out there? I mean, this seems to be a fairly regular occurrence for these cats, you know? And I got to tell you that anytime we see them stand up on their soapbox over there and, you know, start getting into this whole thing, I think we need to look in their closets because they all seem to have a closet full of skeletons, you know, Jamie? I mean, what gives?
I don't know where to begin, Malcolm. I mean, you look at Bill Clinton, the champion of women.
Oh, yeah.
And then Hillary Clinton,
the wife of the champion of women.
That tolerated his behavior for decades, and then trashed the women who would dare to accuse him.
I know.
I don't know where it ends.
I know. You can't even really make sense of it all. Well, listen to this now. Let me read to you all the official statement from the Attorney General. So he says, get a load of this, people. It's been my great honor and privilege to serve as Attorney General for the people of the state of New York. In the last several hours, serious allegations, which I strongly contest, have been made against me. This is Schneiderman now, scumbag Schneiderman, you know. While these allegations are unrelated to my professional conduct, you got a lot of professionalism, we get it, or the operations of the office, they will effectively prevent me from leading this office's work at this critical time. So he announces his resignation, guys, but he doubled down on denying the woman's claims. Isn't that always the case where they deny? I mean, do they ever get up there, Dale, at the microphone and say, you know, I've been a real bad boy. I did some things here I should not have done. I did bitch slap that woman. I talked about her weight that way. I repent, dear Lord. I don't want to go to hell. Forgive me.
You know, I made light of the situation, but the reality is I think politics is the power is it's an aphrodisiac in a sense, and it just causes people who perhaps would not act that way in any other part of life, but once they get into that power position and that. I think it really begins to affect them, emotionally and their judgment. And I mean, it happens. You know, we've seen it repeatedly throughout, not just in recent years, but I mean, even going way back in the history of this country. Sex is has been a part of politics for over 200 years.
Well, you know why, Dale? Because they're typically used to screwing the American people, so they figure they can screw each other. You understand that, right? How that works, yeah?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. So I get it. Yeah, the whole political spectrum, I mean, you can keep it, man, I got to tell you.
Power is a strong drug.
It is. It's a cocaine trip, really, for these cats, Jamie. It really is. I mean, I just can't imagine. There's no morals, there's no decency, there's no nothing. It's like they become monsters, guys. They become these weird monsters, like onto their own. Like you say, they're so empowered. And, you know, they're doing all this stuff behind the door. I mean, and then it all comes out and we find out how corrupt it is. And I got to tell you, when you look at that hush fund up in Congress, yeah, you know about this, guys, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, that we still can't get the results on. We can't get any of that released to the American people of all our money. Money's being paid for these sexual, problems, these deviants who do this kind of stuff up there. And, they actually have a fund which funds all this at will so they can go out and do this stuff. I mean, you can't really make this stuff up. And this is
with our tax dollars.
With our tax dollars, Jamie. It's beyond the pale. I just don't even begin to know how this is all legal. How is it legal? Why do we put up with it? And then we want to keep electing the same cats to Washington. You people need to wake up out there. You people listen and need to wake up.
It's long past time for torches and pitchforks.
Get your assault rifles out and your pitchforks. Dale, I'm very serious when I say this. It's a visual I have in my mind when it's gotten too much, when we've gone too far, when we need to take it back. And
oh, it, I, I, uh,
yeah,
you know, I had the same vision. I would love to see the Washington Mall full of people with torches and pitchforks and tar and feathers.
Yeah.
And just standing outside of the Capitol building and saying, we've had enough.
Enough. Get out of here. Pack your bags. Get the hell out of here. You know, Dallas, the same way, I got to tell you honestly, I got to confess, get this off my back here a minute, with the DOJ and the FBI and the CIA and all these, it's the same thing. They don't want to give all the reports over to Congress. Or when they do give them over, they redact everything. So it looks like, you know, Rumpelstiltskin wrote it. I mean, you can't make a freaking thing out to understand what the hell they meant. And Congress, they oversight is to Congress. I mean, they control not only the purse strings, but oversight to these cats. And of course, that's like having the devil perform masterful duties for the devil. But that's another story for another day, people. But the point is, we can't even get any of these reports. And you know, try you holding up something from one of these government agencies, Dale, that called you tomorrow and said, okay, Dale Wilbur, we want to see these various reports. We want to you have them over to us on Friday. You missed that deadline on Friday, Dale, and they won't even give it till Friday. They're going to come in and ransack your house like they just did to Cohen when they want to do it. And then they're going to take what they want. But yet we don't do that to them. Why aren't we holding them to the same responsibilities? Right.
We should. And the thing about the reports and that with all these redactions, truthfully, the only thing that that should be redacted or any sources or methods that might be revealed or any identities that might be revealed that that might have a detrimental impact on current or ongoing operations or whatever. So, you know, when you get a sheet of paper from the CIA that says, "Dear Sir," and then it's all black until the very bottom where the signature is, you know, that is a problem, and people shouldn't, you know, they shouldn't accept that.
Yeah, no, it's
well, now we have Republican Congressman, I want to say it's DeSantis, but talking about holding Jeff Sessions in contempt of
Congress. It is DeSantis. Yep, he is. And Devin Nunes is as well. They all want it.
Yep.
No, I think they should hold Sessions in contempt. I'd like to see that happen. That'd be a big day for me, Jamie. Absolutely.
What is encouraging to me is that there is a bipartisan effort that met with the president on term limits. And that is one of the most broken aspects of our government.
Totally agree.
That have the most measurable positive influence on draining the swamp.
I agree. Totally. I mean, listen, this business of them staying there until they, again, are in a wheelchair and have an oxygen tank and we roll their asses out at 96 years old, it's got to stop. It's got to stop. You know, we roll them out and they can't even breathe anymore. You know, oh, I think this cat's done. All right. I mean,
I heard Patrick Leahy say recently during an interview on television that he started out by saying, in my 40 years in the Senate, and I stopped listening at that point because as far as I was concerned, that's the problem.
So
40
well.
Years in the Senate.
Yeah, so well said, so well spoken. And I'm glad you both agree, because I know not everybody agrees with that, but I feel very passionate about it as well. One last word to you all on Schneiderman. I just want you to know this and get a load of this, people. This guy was an unbelievable thorn in Trump's side. He had more than 100 actions against the Trump administration. He was the one that went after the Trump University. This guy has been such a thorn in his side. Back in 2013, Trump had a tweet out there. Wiener is gone. Spitzer is gone. Next will be lightweight Eric Schneiderman. Is he a crook? Wait and see. Worse than Spitzer or Wiener. He said this back in 2013. So kind of interesting. You know, friends, the old lesson we learn as kids. You remember the lesson your mother taught you? Little Johnny, what goes around comes around, right?
Karma wheel turns.
It really does. What goes around comes around. So that's the last day there. Listen, a piece of good news I want to give you all. April was the best month in history for the U.S. budget, according to CBO figures. Get a load of this, people. There is some good news. Let me give it to you. The federal government took in a record tax haul in April to its biggest ever monthly budget surplus. This was now information came through from the Congressional Budget Office. This is because the economy's been surging. People have more money in their paycheck, so there's more to pay because we're making more money. So Uncle Sam gets a little reprieve. Nothing wrong with that. Let's hope they spend it wisely, people, right? But they collected $515 billion and spent $297 billion only, a surplus of $218 billion. I tell you guys, I had to do a double take on this report. I nearly passed out when I read it. I said, "Are you sure we're talking about the United States government and not some other country here? Because it doesn't make any sense to me, you know." But that is the news there, guys. And a lot of that's because the economy's ticking forward, and because a lot of you have more money in your pocket as well. And so it's getting real interesting. Listen, some other things I wanted to talk to both of you. You're both brilliant minds. It's so good to have you both on Nozzle today. But next time we get you on, I want to talk about Giuliani and, of course, and Mueller, especially. And, of course, it's not so bad that we didn't spend the whole program talking about that because, you know, like you guys, we're probably Mueller'd out at this point, you know. it's like every day it leads to the broadcast of one way, shape, form, or another, you know. But it is getting very interesting with what's happening with the whole Mueller thing. We're going to be very curious to see how this really witch hunt comes to an end, the final chapter. You guys have any, we only have a couple of minutes left here, but Jamie, you have any thoughts real quickly to how the Mueller special, how long do you think he has left, and what's the end result of this thing?
I think the tide is beginning to turn and the whole country is going to become Mueller'd out. And my prediction is that Trump is not impeached and suck it up 4 more years.
Wow. Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree with you there for sure. Dale, you think the counsel, you think he's got much left, much gas in the tank?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he's going to come up with anything that's going to meet the threshold for an impeachment. I think this has been a colossal waste of taxpayer money.
Yeah, well, it's north of $100 million, I believe. Last I reported was, but God only knows what it is now. Again, when you got an endless checkbook and you got all the powers, you can do what you want to do. That's the case here. Obviously, this thing has got nothing to do with collusion with Russia. Never had anything to do with that. I mean, it's a whole other conversation, people. But you all know that already. Everybody knows it. The left knows it. The right knows it. The center know it. Hell, the communists know it. They all know it. I mean, come on. You don't get with it here. Listen, hashtag Tuesday Thoughts. As Dell and Jamie get ready with their predictions, let me just give you a couple of tweets here for the day here. Miguel says the left is distancing itself from Eric Schneiderman, but watch closely. He was a hero and leader to the resistance and Me Too, a huge blow to the left. Amy says, since 1979, we have watched Iranians chant death to Israel, death to America, death to Jews, burn our flag, yet liberals are losing their minds. Trump is standing up to them. Interesting comments here. Scott says, today is election day in Indiana, North Carolina, Ohio, West Virginia. That race is happening today, friends. Go vote. Tell your family and friends to vote. Dale, let's have you do predictions first. What's your big prediction?
I think President Trump is going to continue to confound his enemies, and he's going to continue to push forward and make America great again.
Yeah, that was the goal, and he seems to be delivering on it here. Colonel Jamie Williamson, what's your prediction, sir?
Well, I think this whole Mueller investigation is going to continue to lose steam and eventually just run out of energy. I don't think anything is going to come out of it. I never did from the beginning. Been dealt two serious blows by the Justice Department. So that's my prediction.
Yeah, very good. Listen, big thank you to Colonel Jamie Williamson, Dale Wilbur, both of you. Great analysis and great patriots. And thank you for your service, gentlemen. And thank you for being here and being part of Nozzle today. Friends, I thank you again for being with us here. And as always, my prediction is we'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nozzle off.